I offer my Thanksgiving congratulations to all of you and well wishes on this day. Trust that whether you're alone or with family and friends this weekend, that somehow being a part of our worship and services today will really fill your life with Thanksgiving. An empty nest couple realized that neither of their two children were going to be home that year for Thanksgiving. And so just before the husband left the house, their condo to go to the grocery store to buy some groceries for the weekend, he called his son in Toronto and said, "Son, I'm leaving the house right now. Your mother's staying at home." And the son said, "Dad, like after all these years, like I had no idea, like what's going on?" The son calls his sister in Winnipeg and says, "Have you heard? Dad's leaving Mom and she's staying in their condo." And she said, "I've got to call Dad right away." So she calls her father and says, "Dad, don't do anything. We're both coming home this weekend." He hangs up the phone and says, "Honey, I'm going to buy a turkey. The kids are both coming home and they're paying their own way." I hope you're not alone this weekend. While we tend to look forward to Thanksgiving because it usually means a long weekend, and some kind of celebration, perhaps an opportunity to enjoy a sumptuous meal together with friends or with family. But what if Thanksgiving were the one day in which we overemphasize what should be in our hearts every day of the year, a heart of gratitude? What if our Thanksgiving prayer really thanked God for everything that has happened in the past year? Everything. What if we were truly thankful for the things that we are rarely thankful for? At the end of my short teaching today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. It may be a prayer that you will even choose to use at whatever gathering you'll be a part of yet this weekend. Perhaps for this Thanksgiving dinner, you might thank God, not just for the food on the table before you eat and the blessings of this past year, but for all the ways God has not performed according to your liking. For all the times God has said no, and for all the ways he has worked in and through your life, perhaps without you even recognizing it. Thank him for all the unresolved issues, the questions that are still there for you, and the ways that you're still waiting for answers. Thank him regardless, and see what he does in your soul and for those around your table to give a heart of obedience and surrender to him in everything. Thank him and see how he moves the others to do the same who are with you this Thanksgiving weekend. My text is short. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Paul says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You didn't miss it. In all circumstances, in the good times as well as the bad, in the pleasantries of life as well as the pain, during difficult times and trying and frustrating times alike, give thanks. Thanksgiving is appropriate for those who choose to follow Christ in every occasion. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. These, in the language that Paul spoke them in, are commands. They are imperatives. Giving thanks is not an option for those who name Jesus as their Lord and Savior. These commands are in the present tense, so the instruction is to keep on rejoicing, keep on praying, keep on, continue on giving thanks. Give thanks in everything, all circumstances. Paul is not saying to give thanks for everything, but in connection with everything that happens, in every circumstance, no matter what or where, you and I can choose thanks. as that video so powerfully portrayed. That's God's imperative for the growing Christian person. Paul is speaking here of a life marked by thanksgiving, a profound trust in God who is good and faithful. Not everything that happens to us is good, but God uses everything that happens to work for our good, the scripture says. Sometimes we don't know whether something is good or bad, but we can be thankful God is working for our good in everything. So I won't get to that place. I know I won't get to that place of giving thanks in everything without carefully taking steps in my life to be thankful. So I want to offer to you some thoughts about living a life of thankfulness, because it's an attitude that overflows from my character. Thanksgiving is the natural response to the grace and goodness of a great and wonderful God who I believe cares and provides for me, for my family, for the people that are around me in life. Listen to these appeals for a grateful heart, this taken from Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So Paul says, make thanksgiving the natural impulse of your prayer. How can we pray without giving thanks for all that God has done? When I pray with thanks. I must also live out that thanksgiving from my gratitude for what God has done, for his life that he has given to me. So my life of thankfulness declares that God is abundant, not stingy. If I live life with a sense that God is stingy, I believe that God is living on a tight budget, that he only has so many resources, and he's kind of measuring them out to me with a degree of scarcity about his resources in heaven, stretching out his economy in case there's an unexpected crisis. But if I believe that God is abundant, he is extravagant, he's sufficient, he's complete, he's generous, he's always more than enough. If I'm living out of a life of thankfulness, my life declares that God is a giver, not a taker. If God's a taker, then I see God as the one who demands from me obedience and sacrifice and tithes, and just as generally demanding in life itself. That I expect that what I desire most is the very thing that God doesn't desire for my life. Or that there are things that I enjoy that he will take away from me. But if I see God as a giving God, I see him as sufficient and generous and supplying, encouraging and helping and abundant. I expect that he has already given me all things. Even when I hear from God a command, when I hear it as an expectation, like give thanks, I receive it as a gift, not a demand. If I'm going to live a life of thankfulness, then I declare that the world is a place to give blessing and not just to get pleasure. If I see the world as a place that I just get pleasure, then I feel that I need to squeeze as much pleasure out of everything. I might be missing something. I should try to accomplish this in this short life that is mine. And again, it's a fear of scarcity. There will not be enough. And that drives me to stockpile whatever I can in this world to ensure that I can enjoy every pleasure out of life. But if I see the world as a place to bless, to live out a blessing, to live every blessing in Christ, then the flow goes the other direction in my life. God is a great giver. He's a fountain. He's my Father. He's flowing with every replenished blessing and grace and hope. And so when I feel this, then I look at the needs of the world with a free and internal impulse to bless, to give, to share. My life isn't a reservoir. It's simply a gathering place where something flows in and much flows out. My life can be a blessing. If I live out a life of thanksgiving, then I also declare that the treasure is eternal and not just temporal. If I see treasure as temporal, then thanksgiving tends to be about food, clothing, shelter, good health, and family. Those are good things to give thanks for. But the merry-go-round seems kind of repetitive in our thanksgiving. God, thank you that I have a nice life. But there's a nagging sense that you're not going anywhere, just kind of around and around and around on that. But when I understand that this treasure is both about now, the blessing of God that goes to eternity, then my thanksgiving flows from a deeper place of knowing that the Creator of life has placed signs along the road that encourages me to move through the temporal things that are filled with joy and tears. And He is waiting to bless us, all of us together, for having been faithful on that journey towards our reward, which is ultimately and finally with Him in our eternal life. You see, you won't get to the place of giving thanks in everything without living out a life that is thankful. So what naturally flows out of your life? What do you hear yourself saying? Words of gratitude or grumbling? Your prayer of thanksgiving and everything will be the outcome of taking steps to live your life with gratitude, with thankfulness. I choose thankfulness. And when I do that, when I give thanks that way, the wonderful thing is that my life gives witness to God's greatness, to God's glory, to the work of Christ, to the good news, the gospel, to a walk in the Spirit that is transformative. Wonderful witness. So when the prayer of thanksgiving matches with the life of thankfulness, we give witness to something. God is good. We've read scriptures this morning that give expression to that. Psalm 86, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Romans 8, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If God uses everything to work together for good, then we can be truly thankful in everything. And when trials and difficulties come, they are really a way that God brings about this refining and perfecting of our life in Christ. And we count that as joy. Elizabeth felt as low as the soles of her shoes as she pushed against the October gusts of wind and crossed the street towards the florist shop. Her life, on the whole, recently had been hard, to say the least. Her husband was experiencing the early onset of Alzheimer's, and she now had become, in the past year, his primary caregiver. Her sister had passed away. She was grieving that. Then quite recently, she heard the news that her son and daughter-in-law were having great difficulty in their marriage, and it may not even survive. And she said, "It's just too much." Deep in her thoughts, she pushed through the door of the florist shop. "Good afternoon, can I help you?" Jenny spoke to her as she came through the door, and Jenny said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I startled you. I didn't mean to do that." Elizabeth said, "It's okay. I'd like a floral bouquet for Thanksgiving if I could." "So what kind of story do you want to tell with your flowers?" Jenny said, and saw as she said that the pain in Elizabeth's eyes. She went on, "Every bouquet, I think, has a way of communicating a story, something that we want to say that reflects what's going on in our lives. So what kind of story do you want to convey to your family this Thanksgiving?" Elizabeth said, "Honestly, I don't know, gratitude, I guess. Sorry, it's been a difficult year." Elizabeth kind of regretted getting this personal about flowers. Really, I mean, it's flowers. But it was out there now. And then Jenny said to her, "You know, I think I might have a very appropriate arrangement for you." "Oh." And then someone else walked through the front door. And Jenny was temporarily distracted toward the next customer. "Brenda," Jenny said, "how are you?" And she turned to Elizabeth and said, "Would you mind if I took a moment and just completed this order?" And she quickly retrieved from the cooler an arrangement of green bows and long-stemmed roses, except the roses had all of the flowers cut off at the top. Huh, strange. Jenny said to Brenda, "Do you want this in a box?" And Elizabeth's thinking, "Okay, there's a joke here. I'm waiting for someone to laugh and say, ha ha, a bouquet of roses with no roses." But the women just continued. Brenda said, "Yes, thank you. They're exquisite as always." Barbara said, "You'd think after 5 years of getting the Thanksgiving special, I'd not be so moved by its significance, but here I am again. I'm ordering the same arrangement." Elizabeth stared in disbelief. The significance of an arrangement of thorny rose stems? I don't get it, she thought. And the ladies parted, and Elizabeth watched Barbara walk out the door and was thinking. She said to Jenny, "That lady just walked out with a bouquet of thorns." "Yes," Jenny said, "that's called my Thanksgiving thorns bouquet." Why would people pay for that?" Elizabeth blurted out. "Well," Jenny said, "you know, Barbara came in the shop about 5 years ago, probably feeling a lot like what you're feeling. I don't know what your story is, but you look like your life's been difficult." Elizabeth nodded. She said, "Barbara felt very similarly the time she walked in here so many years ago. She had lost her father to cancer. The family business was struggling. Her son was struggling to deal with substance abuse. And Barbara herself was facing major surgery." "That same year," Jenny continued, "I lost my husband, a heart attack, and suddenly I assumed complete responsibility for the shop, and for the first time at Thanksgiving, I was so alone. I'm sorry," Elizabeth said. "What did you do?" She said, "Well, I decided as I'm working through my own grief that this would be the year that I would learn to be thankful for things that are hard. Jenny went on, Elizabeth, I'm a Christian. I've always thanked God for the blessings in my life, and there were so many. And I never really asked him why he chose to give me so many good things, things that I consider to make my life great. But boy, when things went hard, when I lost my husband and things were difficult here in the business and I was alone, boy, did I ever want to ask him what he was up to. And during my grief, I learned that dark times are important to my life and to my well-being. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took the difficulties, the thorns, to show me the beauty of God's comfort and love. I believe that the Bible teaches us, she said to Elizabeth, that God delights in giving us blessing, but it also says that God comforts us when we're afflicted. And that from that comfort and consolation, we learn how to comfort others. Elizabeth said, look, I had a friend that tried to say that kind of stuff to me this past year. It just simply made me angry. And I'm disappointed. If there is a God, I'm disappointed in what he's given to me this year. Jenny let that hang in the silence of the moment. And the door opened and another customer came through. And Elizabeth observed a bald, rotund gentleman who walked through the door. And Jenny turned and said, Phil, hi, how are you? I'm expecting you. I've got your bouquet prepared. And Phil said, hey, another year of the thorny Thanksgiving special. And as the two talked, Phil said, you know, I came in here last year and it had been 4 years since my wife and I had gone through a difficulty in our marriage, and we had worked through every difficulty one at a time, and we managed to be back on track with each other. And last year I came in here to get a bouquet of flowers, and Elizabeth told me about the thorny Thanksgiving special, and I bought it for my wife, and she loved it so much she wants me to get another one this year. And Elizabeth said, you've got to be kidding me. You'd buy thorns for your wife? And he said, yes. Because it helped us remember how it was that we received a grace to work through some very difficult times. Well, Phil paid for his bouquet and left. And as he left and the ladies again joined in their conversation, Elizabeth said, you know what? I don't think that I can be thankful for my thorns this year. Well, Jenny said, you know, my experience says that the thorns make roses more precious. I treasure God's sufficiency, his completeness, his gracious comfort more during the troubled times than I do during the good times. Elizabeth, I want you to know that Jesus actually bore thorns on his head as a crown, so that by suffering on our behalf and paying for our sin on the cross, that we could experience his forgiveness and love. So I want to say to you in all of your pain, don't resent the thorns. Tears began to roll down Elizabeth's cheeks, and for the first time in many months, she felt just a small loosening of her grip on resentment. There was a long silence, and she finally said, okay, I'll try it. I'll take the thorny Thanksgiving special bouquet. She said, how much do I owe you? And Jenny said, oh, first year it's free. It's on me. What I want you to do is I want you to remember that the thorns can be the pathway for you to experience forgiveness and love and healing in your heart. I trust that you will be introduced to the love and forgiveness and healing that Jesus brings. Jenny went on to say, I'm going to put this card, I hope it's okay, I'm going to put it in your bouquet, but I'd like you to read it first before I put it in. The card said this: "My God, I've never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never for my thorns. Teach me the glory of your cross. Teach me the value of my pain. Remind me that I have met your Son, Jesus, on the pathway of suffering. And show me that you're making my tears into your rainbow." It's just a parable. But it's based on this truth: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the good times as well as the bad, in the pleasantries of life as well as the pain, during difficult times and trying times and frustrating times, give thanks. This morning, in conclusion and response, I want to pray, lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of being thankful for the things that we're rarely thankful for. If it's meaningful for you and you think that it might be appropriate, I have copies of the prayer on either side here, and you're welcome to come and get one for your family. And perhaps you would even use it together at the dinner table or wherever you are gathered this weekend. But for this moment, I would like to pray this prayer. Thank you, God, for this food that we're about to eat. And thank you for your many blessings on us this past year, the ones we've seen as well as the ones that we haven't seen. Thank you, God, for the times that you've said no. They've helped us depend on you so much more. Thank you, God, for unanswered prayer. It reminds us that you know what's best for us, even when our opinion differs. Thanks for the things you've withheld. You've protected us from what we may never realize. Thank you, God, for the doors that you've closed. They have prevented us from going where you would rather we have not gone. Thank you, Lord, for the physical pain you've allowed in our lives. It's helped us more closely relate to your sufferings on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for the alone times in our lives. Those times have forced us to lean in closer to you. Thank you, God, for the uncertainties we've experienced. They've deepened our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for the times you came through for us when we didn't know we needed a rescue. Thank you, Lord, for the losses we've experienced. They've been a reminder that you are our greatest gain. Thank you, God, for the tears that we've shed. They've kept our hearts soft and moldable. Thank you, God, for the times we haven't been able to control our circumstances. They have reminded us that you are sovereign and you're on the throne. Thank you, God, for your ability to take what we consider to be tragedy and turn it into treasure. Thank you, God, for those you have called home to be with you. Their absence from this earth reminds us to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. Thank you, God, that we have an inheritance in the heavenly places, something that this world can never steal from us and we could never selfishly squander. Thank you, God, for the greatest gift you could ever give us, forgiveness through your perfect Son, Jesus' death on the cross, on our behalf. Thank you, God, for the righteousness you credited toward us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's a righteousness we could never attain on our own. And thank you not only for our eternal salvation, but for the salvation you afford us every day of our lives as you save us from ourselves, our foolishness, our own limited insights, and our frailties in light of your power and strength. Thank you, God, for all that you have allowed and not allowed in our lives this past year, For we commit our lives anew to you this day and ask that you would continue to remind us throughout this next year that you are God, you are on the throne, and you are eternally good. Thank you, finally, that we can pray in the name of Jesus, who made our access to you and a personal relationship with you possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Perhaps this Thanksgiving dinner, you will join me in giving thanks for the things that we rarely give thanks for. Amen.